Today's daf is Erev and Daf Yotes, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Yotches Amid Beis, Va'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza and Shoshana Tova Bas Esther. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Yitzchak ben Shmuel Alimelech, Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Remoisha Chaim, Chaim Elazar ben Tuvia Gedalia, and Chava Feger Bas Yibadol Chaim Toivim Reb Shmaya. So yesterday we began the second perek of Masechtas Erevin, Perek Oisin Pasin, a classic perek, which very much picks up where the first perek left off, and that is intense Masechtas Erevin, stating that the Gemara took an immediate left turn and digressed, then digressed from its digression, and we're knee-deep in halachas related to Agadata. So just to follow the paper trail of how we got where we're about to start today's daf, that is the Mishnah had discussed the halachas of Pasi Birois. Pasim Birois is a special kula that the Chachamim made for the Oily Regalim that said that even though ordinarily you're not allowed to carry from Rishos Hayachid to Rishos Harabim, of course, that's the 39th Malacha, you're also not allowed to carry from Rishos Hayachid to a Carmelis. If you do want to carry from Rishos Hayachid to a Carmelis, you would have to put mechitzas around the Carmelis to convert the Carmelis into a Rishos Hayachid. And there's a whole Shulchan Aruch of what a mechitza has to be. 10 tefachim tall, it can't be part of Merubah Aloimed, you can't have any pirtza that's going to be wider than 10 amos, stating that the Chachamah made a special kula for the Be'erois, maybe also the Be'erois of the Oile Regal, and they said that if you want, you could put up 4 double posts. They have to be spaced very specifically. We'll see more about that later in the daf. Those double posts that the Mishnah mentioned were called diyumdim. And the Gemara digressed on the shayrish, the etymology of that word, and said that it comes from the word diyoy, which in Aramaic, as in English, as in Greek, means duo. It means double. And the Gemara brought a memra that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, one of the Amiram, said, as it relates to that word diyoy. The memra was regarding Adam HaRishon. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said that Adam HaRishon was created not one person, but rather Zachar and Nekeva Baram. Diyoy parts of Panim Hayalai La'adam Arish. The Gemara then mentioned something else that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said that after Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas, for the next 130 years he was Pirish from his wife, stating that through Zera, that was Yotza Ba'oines, he was Moilid Ruchin and Shedim and Lila. The Gemara then brought another thing that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said, better known than the first two. Mikta Shvache Shaladim Oimrim Befanov, Vikula Shalai Befanov. So the Gemara is going to pick up on that theme, and that is continue to mention different memories, all divrei agada that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said. Zok Tigmar, Vam Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Ma'ayit Chsev Aspshan in the Pasuk, V'hinei Alei Zayis Taraf B'fiyah. Noach wanted to know if the rain had ended. So he took a yoina and he sent it out to hoping that the yoina would come back and Chazaka Shliach, Oysa Shlichusai, notifying Noach of what's going on in the world. So the yoina returns, the dove comes back, V'hinei, and behold, Alei Zayis Taraf B'fiyah. This yoina had an olive leaf in her mouth, says the Gemara. Amro yoina lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What was the significance? The yoina was talking to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and said the following: Ribbono shel Olam, yihu mizaynoisai merurin kizayis u'mesurim biyadcha. I would rather that my mizaynois, my sustenance, my daily living be dependent on you, even if it means it's going to be bitter, like an olive is bitter. Valyu misukin kidvash, rather than it be masur kidvash, but utluyim biyad basav adam. Meaning for the last year, or for that last period of time, the yoina was dependent on Noach. And what the yoina was saying was that it's very good, yoina took good care of me. In fact, my mizoinus were misukin kidvash, but I would rather Kadosh Baruch Hu have to come on to you. Says the Gemara, where do you see that? Meaning, when Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar come up with this shtickle Torah, the pasuk at the end of the day merely says, v'hinei ali zayas, Torah b'fiyah. So he darshan k'sif hach, it says Torah. K'sif hach, it says somewhere else, hat rifeinu lechem chuki. So you see that the word Torah is from the shayrish of mezoinois, and that's what the yoinu was saying. V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, kol bayit shenish man bayit divrei Torah b'layla. Any house that has Torah in the house, you can hear the Torah, meaning not just learning, but you can hear the Torah. Shuv enoi nechrav. It's a skula that this house will never be destroyed. Shenema, the pasuk says, V'loi omar aye eloika oisoi. The pasuk is describing a state of bliss. V'loi omar, you're not going to have to say aye eloika oisoi. Sometimes in life, people find themselves saying aye eloika oisoi. But the pasuk says, V'loi omar, you're not going to have to say. You know why? Because noisein zmirois balailo. Because there was zmirois balailo. Zmirois as in Torah. Fa'ate kisfu lochemesa. Shira hazois, and that's the point. Kol bayish and nishmon by the very Torah balaylo. Shuv enei nechrav. Rami Rebbe Ben Allah. Another thing, Rabbi Ben Allah said, "Miyem shchar beis hamikdash from the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed." Dayu loinam sheyishnamish b'tei shtei oisiyos. So even though Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Shema Mefirish, the Shema Meyuchid, is a shame that's made up of dalad oisiyos, yud k vav k, but miyem shchar beis hamikdash, you can't say yud k vav k. You could say yud k, but you can't say yud k vav k. Shenemar koila neshama tahalil ka. Hallelujah. It's not Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Havayah. It's Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Ka. This is referring to after the Churban, where you can't say Yud Kei Vavke. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Kehanim were allowed to say the Shem Havayah in the Beis HaMikdash. But once the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, so we don't say anymore Yud Kei Vavke. Rather, it's Kol HaNeshama Tahalel Ka, the Shem Yud, and then Hey, yeah. But the Shem Yud Kei Vavke, that not. The truth is that we've mentioned Lumdus in the past from the Briskerov, in the Sefer Al HaRambam, and in his Sefer Al HaTorah as well, where the Brisker Rav says that when we read the word Havaya as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, it's not the pshat that in lieu of saying Havaya, instead we're saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but rather the kriya of Havaya is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Chaps Nafkemin is an halacha as it relates to someone that's Mecharefu Megadef HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the shame Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, where his intention was not to say Aleph Dal Nun Yud, but to say Yud Kei Vav Kei the way Yud Kei Vav Kei is written. It also chaps an afkimina about Kairi when he's reading from the Sefer Torah. He's not allowed to read Baal Peh. He has to be looking inside when he reads from the Sefer Torah. The question is, could he look Baal Peh when it comes to the Shem Havaya? What's the tzad he should be able to? Because he's anyways not saying Havaya. But if the kriya of Havaya is Aleph Dal Nun Yud, then really he is saying it. So this idea that there's no kri of Yud Kei Vav Kei is not so simple. It's actually totally in Lumdus. It's totally in Brisker Lumdus. But the point of the Gemara, of course, is an obvious point. We don't read Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei, that's a name that we have. How do you know that? Koil HaNeshama Tahalel Ka. Ka we have, but Koil HaNeshama Tahalel Havaya, that we're not going to have until Asa Loviv. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskalu L'Bavel. Not Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said to us that when Bavel was cursed, Niskalu Shechenev. Not only was Bavel cursed, not only was Bavel destroyed, but its neighbors were destroyed as well. Niskalu L'Shomron, but when the Shomron was cursed, when was that? When the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into exile, the Shomron was the epicenter of where the Aseres HaShvatim lived. Nisborchu Shechena. It's Shechenim were blessed. Skalabav Neskal Shechena. The Chsifas Amtiel LeMoirash Kipay V'Agmei Mayim. This is a pasuk that describes the Churban of Bavel, a pasuk in Yeshaya. And the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Bavel is going to become a Moirash of Kipay. Kipay are a certain birds, that wild birds are going to inhabit Bavel. If wild birds inhabit Bavel, inevitably its neighbors are going to be impacted in a negative way. Now, how do you know that? The pasuk says, "V'samti shomrim le'i hasadeh le'matoi karem." You know what happened in the Shomron? You had vineyards. There were things that its neighbors would be able to benefit from. See, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to punish the Aseres HaShvatim, they went into exile, and the psukim talk very harshly about the Einish, but there's a silver lining. At the end of the day, the klal of Bavel and the klal of Shomron were not the same. The klal of Bavel, what ended up in Bavel? It was a Meirash Kipoid. There were Vildachayas there. What happened to the Shomron? It was a place of Matoy Kerv. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Nothing. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said, "Boy, Reish Lagim is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Me this pasuk v'dam. It's Chayiv Adam Arigel Malchus." The way it is, usually, if a person is given the death sentence, when they give this person the death sentence, they would have to put something in his mouth, because this person is about to be killed. At this point, he has nothing to lose, and he's probably going to tell the king what he thinks, and he's probably not going to be happy about the fact that he's being killed. So the minig always was, when they would kill somebody, they would put something in the person's mouth, stuff his mouth, so he shouldn't be able to talk. He won't be mevazeh the melech. But midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, is not that way. Adam is chayv arikul amakim. When a yid is punished, a yid has yisurim sometimes shoysek. He's mekabel the yisurim ba'ahava. Shenema, how do you know that? The pasuk says, l'cha dumiya sehila. That sometimes when a person is quiet, he's praising HaKadosh Baruch, and this is what it's referring to. It's referring to the Midah of Klal Yisrael. The Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are Mekabel Yisurim B'Havlo. Not only that, but this Shtika is actually a Shvach Shvach HaKadosh Baruch, Shenemat Tehillah. L'chadu Miyas Ilav. When a Yid is Mekabel is Yisurim B'Havlo, it's as if he brought a carbon. Shenemat, the end of the Pasuk is, it says, it's considered as if you brought a carbon. The Marsha says, what's this idea of being Mekabel Yisurim B'Havlo? He says, because the Yid has a Munah, that even though sometimes he has to struggle in this world, but it's all coming at the cheshbin that in the next world he's going to get more Olam Haba. So this is the perspective of a Yid. And that was another statement that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said. So Gemara, this last thing that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said, Hainu Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi. He's not the only one that said it. This already is an idea that's expressed in something that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said. Ma'i dechsev, oivri be'imek ha'bacha, mayin yish yisuhu, gam brachos yatem moir. A pasuk in Tehillim. Oivri, what does that mean? Eilu b'nei Yadam, sha'ivri, ha'vur, sa'in, sha'ma, Kadosh Baruch, referring to people that are oivrim, they're oivra averos. Emek, so oivre be'emek, shema mikin lahem gehenim. These are people that they do such bad averos that they end up not just in gehenim, but tief in gehenim. Habacha, shaboichin umayridin demois, kemayin shal shisin. These are people that they're going to cry. They're so distraught over their terrible fate that they shed tears, kemayin shal shisin. The shisin were the two holes in the floor of the Azara where the Nesachim used to go through. Vegam brachos yatemoira, that's the rest of the pasuk, shematztik leis adin. Said Rabbi Shua ben Levi that even the biggest Rishonim in the world are going to be matztik es adin. They're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I agree with what you gave me. And they shall say, Ribbono shel Olam, Yofa Danta, Yofa Zikisa, Yofa Chiyafta, everything that you did is appropriate. The Yofa Tikanta Gehenim, L'Rishoyim, and Ganedim, L'Tzadikim. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi said the same idea, that the way a Yid is Mekabel, his Yisurim, even the Yisurim of Gehenim, is different than the way a Goy does. Right? Is this true? But Rishon Ben Lakish said, Rishon are so bad that even when they're at literally the entrance of Gehenim, they're still not Chayzim B'Tshuva. Shanema, the Pasuk says, V'yatzu v'ro'u b'figrei ha'anoshim ha'poishim bi. Shaposhu lo'i nemer el ha'poishim. So this is referring to poishim, people that did averus, and they're being punished. And at the time that they're being punished, the pasuk describes them as poishim, in real time, in the present tense. Shaposhim v'hochim lo'ilam. So Yishlokish said that you see from it that they're always poishim. So the Gemara says like kasha, ha'ba poishim Yisrael, ha'ba poishim avdei kechavim. The same idea. There's a difference between poishim Yisrael and poishim avdei kechavim. Poishim avdei kechavim, yeah, they're always poishim. Poishim Yisrael, they're going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even at the doorstep of Gehenim and say, Ribbono shel Olam, Yofa Danta, Yofa Zikisa, Yofa Chiyafta. Hachinami Mistabra. It's Mistabra that you have to say such a chiluk between Poishim Yisrael and Poishim Yavdi Kechavim. The Im came, because if not, Kasha Derish Lokish, Adarish Lokish. Gemara makes a little bit of a cheshmin. Amar Rishon Ben Lokish. Poishim Yisrael ain't Ur Gehenim Shalat. The Poishim Yisrael are not going to be impacted by Gehenim at all. Kavachimim Mizbeach Hazav. How did Rib Shlokish know that? He made a Kavachimim. Ma Mizbeach Hazav. So this was the Mizbeach that was inside the Heichal, the smaller Mizbeach. The Mizbeach where they brought the Ketores, the Mizbeach that was used on Yom Kippur, was used for the Chatois HaPnimiyos. So the Mizbeach Azov had one, a little cover of gold. It was literally as thick as a dinar. Still, Amat Kamashonim, V'lo Yisholta Bayi Or. Derech Ness, the little bit of gold was able to protect the Mizbeach, that it was never affected by all the fires and everything that was constantly being brought on top of the Mizbeach. So Poishe Yisrael, Rish Lakish said, Shemaleim mitzvahs kerimoin. The Poishe Yisrael that are filled with mitzvahs kerimoin. How do you know that? Shenemar, kefela charimon rakosek. Apostle Kanshir Hashirim, Amr Rish Lakish, al tikre rakosek, elo reikosek, shafilu reikonim shabach, maleim mitzvahs kerimoin. Everybody knows that. That even the Yidden that are reikonim, that don't have mitzvahs, they're still maleim mitzvahs kerimoin. Alachas kama v'kama. Point is, Rish Lakish made a kavachimer. He said, a very big chiddush. You have to know what this means. Poishe Yisrael in Ur Gehenim Shalat Tzvam. So we hear so much about Gehenim. Rish Lakish said, no worries. Poishe Yisrael, these are the poishim. Ain Ur Gehenim Shalat Tzvam. How did he know that? One of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrash Tzvam. What a lumdus. A kavachimer. Madach Tzvam Zbeach Hazav that has a little bit of a protection. What does it have already? Gold that's as thick as a dinar zahav, it somehow protected the mizbeach from the esh. So kal v'chomer, a yid that has a lot of protection. What's his protection? The mitzvahs protect him. He has more protection than the mizbeach. So certainly nothing's going to happen. Okay, so you have to know Rish Lakish man. But what's the context over here? Just to come full circle. The context is that Rish Lakish said, Risham afilu al pischa shel gehenim, einu chayzer b'tshuva. Here Rish Lakish said, there's no gehenim. He said, "Ein ur gehenem shalatis behem." Sagt the Gemara, you have to say what the Gemara said earlier. Loi kasha haba poisha Yisrael, haba poisha yoyv dekechav, and poisha Yisrael ein ur gehenem shalatis behem. Or at the very least, others. As it relates to the poishe oivde kechavim, afilu al pischei shal gehenim, einam chayzrim b'tshuva. Afraid the Gemara. How could Reish Lakish say there's no tshuva? There's no gehenim. Ela hadich siv oivre be'emek habacha. We had a whole pasuk that talks about gehenim. Oivre be'emek habacha mayin yishisu gam brachis yatamayra. Reish Lakish is drasha. What about the pasuk that says is gehenim? Says the Gemara, a classic. And we're going to get back to this in the raid bite. Ahuda mechai v'ahishayit abihem. You know what the pasuk is referring to? It's referring to a person that, unfortunately, it was determined that he belongs in Gehenna. But vasi Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is going to come, umasik luhu, umekabelu. Avram Avinu is going to take him out of Gehenna. Why? Because Avram Avinu is going to have such a love, we'll see later in the raid bite, that he takes the Yudin out. But he doesn't take everybody. Bar mi Yisrael shebaal ba'asoyvi kechavim. It's with the exception of a Yisrael that's ba ba'asoyvi kechavim, the mashcha or lasoy, that being that when he's ba on this non-Jewish woman, his arla somehow goes back, is loy mevashkele. Avram Avinu doesn't recognize him as a Yid. And because he doesn't recognize him as a Yid, it's for that reason he's the one person that's not going to be saved. But either way, it's true. Reish Lakish acknowledges that there's a concept of Gehenim. But at the same time, Avram Avinu comes and pulls everybody out. Almost everybody out. Zok to Gemara, we'll get back to it. Mask Lorav Gehano. Hanshutam adapoich in the Pashiva Asli. So the Gemara brought a drasha. Reish Lakish is drasha. Risham afilo apischesh al Gehenim. Einon chayzer betshuva. The Gemara clarified it's referring to Poishe Oivde Kechavim. Because Poishe Yisrael, Reish Lakish Hashitasa, he said, Ein Ur Gehenim, Shalatas Vem Kavachem Rimim Bizbeah Chazal. But Rav Kana asked the question on the original Drasha. Poishe, the Gemara said, is real time. As if even now, when they're Al Pischa Shal Gehenim, they're still Poishe. Zok the Gemara, Hashadam Vada Poishe, the Pashi Vazli, Elamiyata, the Chsiv, the Pasik says, Hamoitzi Vehamale. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hamoitzi Eschem Yeretz Mitzrayim. Are we constantly going down to Mitzrayim? Are we constantly being taken out of Mitzrayim? Obviously not. The Masiku, the Mapiku, of course not. Ella the Asik Vapik. It's all in the past tense. Zalchanami the Pashiyos. Rav Kana said, Reish Lakish, I don't understand your drasha. This doesn't mean real time apoyshim. It means in the past tense. How do you know that? Grammatically speaking, I have two psukim in the Torah. Hamoitzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim and Hamala eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. So if those two psukim in the Torah mean that, then your pasuk of apoyshim, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya that says apoyshim, could also mean past tense. It doesn't necessarily mean real time. We return to our regular program, which is for the first half of the daf, different statements that were made by Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Shalish b'sachni yesh l'gehenim. There are three entrance ways to Gehenim. Echad b'midbar, v'echad b'yom, v'echad b'Yerushalayim. But Midbar, how do you know there's an entrance way to Gehenim in the Midbar? The pasuk says, "Vayerdu heim v'chol asher lohem chayim sha'ol." This is referring to Korach v'Adasai. They went to Gehenim. They ended up in Sha'ol. Sha'ol, as we'll see soon, is one of the names of Gehenim. Now, where were the Adas Korach? They were in the Midbar. So clearly, there's a way to get to Gehenim from the Midbar. So said Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, I know for sure there's one entrance way in the Midbar. But yeah, how do you know me? I'm the Chsiv. Mi beten sha'ol shivati shamata koili. This is Yoina talking. And Yoina, of Mafta Yoina fame, is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I yelled out from Gehenim. Now where was Yoina? He was in the sea. That's where he was. He was in the Yam. So you see, in the Yam, there must be an entrance way as well. B'Yushalayim d'chsev no'um Hashem asher urloi b'tzion v'saner loy b'Yushalayim v'tanet v'Rabbi Shmuel. In Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they taught asher urloi b'tzion zu gehenim v'taner loy b'Yushalayim zu pischa shal gehenim. So like a faith to Gemara, is that true? There's only three entrance ways to gehenim. I'm Rabbi Mary Yoin. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Malevi. I'm Rabbi Tana. Rabbi Bar Mary Medvei Rabbi Yoichan Ben Zakkai. Shnei temarois yesh begeven hinoim. There are two palms in the valley of Ben Hinnom. So Gay Ben Hinnom is a place. And over there, there are two timaros. And there's smoke that comes out from between them. V'zuhi sheshoninu. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, Tzinei harabarzel ksheirois. It's a Mishnah Masech Sukkah that says that Tzinei harabarzel are kosher to be used as lulavim. Lulavim come from palm trees. So where are these Tzinei harabarzel? These are the two timaros that are begaven hinayim. But the punchline is, V'zuhi pischa shel gehenim. Now this is not in the Yam. This is not in the Midbar, and it's not even in Yerushalayim. Zokta Yomara, how do you know? Dilma Hayna Yerushalayim. Maybe this is really Yerushalayim. And Enochinami, maybe this was in Yerushalayim, and this would then be one of the three entranceways that Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar was referring to. Omer Rabbi Yeshua Malevi on this note. Shiva Sheimos Yesh L'Gehenim. Gehenim has seven names, Ve'elu Hein. She'oil, Ve'avadoin, Uber Shachas, Uvar She'oin, Ve'titayovi, Ve'tzalmoves, Ve'eretz HaTachtes. She'oil, Zokta Yomara D'chsim, Mi'beten Shal Shivati, Shama. That's the passage we mentioned earlier from Yoyna. Avadin, hey, you know, Avadin means Gehenim, Dechsiv. Hey, super bakhever chazdecho. Is anyone, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, going to talk about your chasadim, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Is anyone going to talk about your chasadim when they're in the kever? Emunascha ba'avadin? If somebody ends up in Avadin, Gehenim, is he going to talk about your amuna? Be'er shachas. How do you know Gehenim's called Be'er shachas? Dechsiv. Ki loy sazim nafshi l'sha'ol. Loy siten chasidcho l'roy shachas. It's also a pasuk in Tehillim. That David HaMelech tells a Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't allow your chasid, right? David HaMelech referred to himself as a chassid, the Dover Shamra Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Brachos. So David HaMelech is talking to Hashem, he says, Loisitein Chassidcho, don't let your chassid liroi shachas. When he was referring to Gehenim. So you see that Gehenim is called Be'er Shachas. Be'er Sha'oin Vetit HaYovein. How do you know those two names are names of Gehenim Dechsiv? Vayaleini Mi Bar Sha'oin Mi Tit HaYovein. And that's a pasuk that's describing Gehenim. Vitzamoves Dechsiv Yoishve Choshech Vitzamoves of Kaporis fame. Ve'eretz HaTachtes. How do you know Gehenim is called Eretz HaTachtes? So the Gemara says, Gemara. So we brought seven names. Sha'oil, Avadoin, Ber Shachas, Vor Sha'oin, Titayovin, Tzalmovetz, Ve'eretz HaTachtes. Which name didn't we bring? Gehenim. Freit Gemara, Vesul, Hekko, Ve'iko, Gehenim. What about Gehenim? Zok the Gemara, Gei, She'amuka, Gehenim. The reason Gehenim is called Gehenim is it's not a real name. It's not an inherent name. Rather, it's a nickname that people gave it. And the reason they gave it the name is because it's a valley that was as steep as the Valley of Hinnom. Shakol yordim lo al iske Hinnom. And there's a play on words here that why do people end up going there? They end up going there because of Hinnom, because of Znos. We'll get back to that in a second. Faith Gemara, but ikot tofte. What happened to tofte? The chsiv ki aruch me esmol tofte. Rashi says that pasuk over there seems to be describing a lot of fire. There's a lot going on there, a lot of activity. Bad. So it sounds like it must be Gehenim. Ahusha kolam ispata biyitzri yipos. Again, that's only a nickname. Because who ends up in Gehenim? People that they're seduced by the Yetzahara. They're the people that end up being there. Gan Eden, Amrish. Shlokish, where's Gan Eden? So we just talked a lot about Gehenim. What about Gan Eden? In Be'eretz Yisrael, who Beisha on Pischa. So Rish Lakish said like this, if Gan Eden's in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure where it is, then its entranceway is in Beisha'an. Then Baravio, if it's in a Ravio, Beis Gorim Pischa. The in Bein Hanahore, so if it's between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, then Dumaskin Pischa, I think it's by Dumaskin. What's the point of all this? The point is Rish Lakish felt that being that Gan Eden is described as being a garden where there's very, very good fruit, so he felt that if there's an entranceway somewhere in this world, it must be in a place where there's good fruit. So he picked a few places on the map that he knew they were good fruit. He said, I don't know where it is, but if it's in Eretz Yisrael, the best fruit in Eretz Yisrael is in Beis Sha'an. If it's in Aravia, it's in Beis Garim. If it's Bein HaNaharos, it's in Dumaskin. But Bavel, the Gemara says, Abaya mishtabach b'peri demavri yaminu. Abaya used to praise, he felt the best fruit in Bavel was in Avar Yamina. Rava saw the world differently than Abaya, always mishtabach b'peri da harpanya. He was mishabeach. He said the best fruit is the peri of harpanya. I don't think this falls into a gather of whether we paskin like Abaya or Rava and the Yalkagam, but either way, just one ha'ara before we really return to our regular program, which is Erevin, and that is that. So we're talking about Gehenim, and the Gemara said that there's seven names to Gehenim. It has seven real names. Frank the Gemara, Vesul Lekka, you went through all the names, and you left out the real name. You forgot about Gehenim. So the Gemara says, no, Gehenim is like a nickname. Why did it have this nickname? So, Gei She'amukha Gehenim, because it's very, very deep. And not only is it deep, but it's as deep as the Valley of Hinnom. So the truth is that you find in Nach, there was a place that was called Gei Shel Hinnom. It's mentioned in Sefer Yeshua. It's mentioned throughout Nach. But just one example. Va'ola ha'gvul Gei Ben Hinnom. So this is in Yeshua Perek Tesvav, when the Pasuk is describing the boundaries when Eretz Yisrael was divided. So there was a place, it was a valley, and it was known as the Valley of Ben Hinnom. It was a place like any other place. It's mentioned in a more significant context, in Divrei Hayomim Beis, in Perek Chav Ches. The Pasuk over there is talking about Achaz. Achaz was Chizkiyo HaMelech's father. And the Pasuk says, Ben Esrim Shana, Achaz B'Malchai.
Achaz was 20 years old when he became king. And he was king of Yerushalayim for 16 years. We know that. And he worshipped Avodah Zarah of Baal. And he brought in the gay of Ben Hinoim, in this place, he took his children and he offered them as a sacrifice, as in Moloch. So there was a lot of averus taking place in this area. What was this area? It was Gay Ben Hinnom. This was a very, very deep valley. This, I guess, ask your local tour guide exactly where it is today. But apparently, it can be identified, and it's based on Gay Ben Hinnom that Gehenim got its name, because it's not really one of its names. Gehenim is Sha'ol, Avadoim, Bershachas, Borshoim, Tetayovin, Tzalmoves, Eretz Atachtes, either way, returning, albeit briefly, to the Sugis and Masechtes Erevin, and that is the idea of Pase Be'eroi. So the Mishnah said that you're allowed to put Pasin around the Be'erois. This was a special Kula for the Oile Regal, as the Gemara is going to discuss in the coming Dafin. Now, how exactly did you situate these pasin? So a few things. Number one, it was a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rameir. Just the beginning of the Mishnah is important. Oisin pasin libirois arba diyumdim near kishmani div Rabbi Yehuda. These posts were double posts, and each one looked like two. So there were four posts on the four corners of the well, but it was near kishmina because they were doubles. They were L shaped, 90-degree angles. Rameir mishmina. Rameir said you had to have eight, and eight that looked like 12. Meaning Rameir had another four. He had the regular arba diyumdin, and additionally there were arba pshutim. There were four straight ones. Goyven asar tvachim. They had to be 10 tvachim tall. V'roichban shisha. Each one was 6 tvachim wide. Each side was an amma. V'oivin kosher. It didn't matter how thick it was. Ubeineyem kimloy shtei revakos shel shalosh bakot of Rameir. Rameir said the amount of space that you had to have between these double posts was wide enough for you to be able to take two groups of animals, each one made up of three. So you need three agolim to be able to fit into this space. Or three times two. Six agolim to be able to fit into this place. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it had to be a little bit wider. Shel arpa, not six or three times two, but rather eight. Four times two. Kshurois, and you measured it as if the animals would be tied to each other. V'loi mutarois, not untied. Achas nechneses, one of the groups, meaning it's not six, it's two groups of three. And the way you measure it is if one was going in, and V'achas Yoytzes, the other one was going out. Zok the Gemara on that note. Ubeineyem, kim lo ishtei pshito, zok the Gemara, kibin the tunnel lady, kshurois haba, nanya din lab mutaris. Why did the Mishnah have to say that they were kshurois and they were not mutaris? Once you know that they're kshurois, obviously they're not mutaris, kosher a matter of two of the lamites malachas. One is kosher and one is matter. If you're kosher, you're not matter. You can't be both. So the Gemara says, why do you need to say kshurois v'loy mutaris? Mal detainment is a little bit of a chiddish. I would have thought kshurois maybe means ke'en kshurois. Doesn't have to literally be tied. But the point is, as long as they're close to each other, they're snug. No. Kamash Malon, that when you measure, you have to measure it not as if they're close to each other, that they're ke'en kshurois, but as if they're literally kshurois. That's the chiddush. Kamash Malon mutars. Achach nechneses, v'achas yoytzes. Tano, Rivka nechneses, v'rivka yoytzes. Meaning the Mishnah said, one is going in and one is going out. Does that mean each six, you have to alternate, one going in, one going out, one going in, one going out? Right, had they all been facing it, when you're measuring it, if you're doing it as if the animals are in this, walking in the same direction, the area is going to be a little narrower. But if they're going in different directions, then you naturally need a little bit more space. So that's the question. Is it one this way, one that way, one this way, one that way? Or is it each group? So the Teretz says it's Rivka Nechneses, V'Rivka Yoytzes. Three going this way and three going that way. Tana Rabbanan, Kama Roisha V'Ruba Shalpar. Okay, so the Mishnah didn't give us numbers, but rather the Mishnah gave us more of the methodology, more of the back in terms of how we got to our number. But what is the number? So the Gemara is going to do a little bit of math. This is just the theme of Erevin. So what is the Roisha V'Ruba of a Para? Why are we Cheshbeni Roisha V'Ruba? Because the Mishnah said that you need to have enough space, meaning when the Mishnah was discussing how close the boards can be to the well, so the short answer was there has to be enough space for the animal to be Roisha V'Ruba. So if you're Cheshbeni six animals, or eight animals, Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, you would need that each animal should be able to be the Rosh of Rub. So what's the Rosh of Rub of the Parah, meaning the length of the Parah is going to be Rosh of Rub? The average Rosh of Rub is Shtei Amos. Okay, the Kama Ovya, how thick is an animal? Because we're measuring it based on its width more. Amo v'shnei shlishi yama. It's 1 2/3 amo, says the Gemara, Shehen ke'eser, which is approximately then 10 amos, divrei Rameh. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kishloish esreyama ukarbes esreyama." It's approximately 13 or 14 amos. Again, it's the same machloik as Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda that we had in the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, we're talking in terms of animals. In the Braisa, we're actually explaining it. We're bringing it down to earth. We're being more practical. Tachlis, what is it? Do I have to bring 6 animals or 8 animals? No, you can measure as follows. According to Rameh, it's ke'eser amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's kishloish esrei ukarbes esreyama. How do you get to that? Because you're measuring how much space there could be between the diyumdin, which is based on 6 animals according to Rameh. It's based on 8 animals according to Rabbi Yehuda. The width of an animal is an amah and 2/3. So it's 1 2/3 times 6 according to Rameh, which is ke'eser. And it's 1 2/3 times 8 according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is kishloish esrei uka'arba esrei. So the Gemara does a little math. Ke'eser, is that true? 1 2/3 times 6 is ke'eser, where the kaf adimyan ha'eser havyan. You don't have to round it off like we rounded off pi. You don't have to come on to the Tosis Rush or the Rush in the end of Arvei Pesachim. This is an exact number. If you do 1 2/3 times 6, the number you're going to have is 10. So the Gemara says you're right. Really, you could have said eser, not ke'eser, but b'shun d'bayin l'misni seifa kishloish esrei. Being that in Rabbi Yehuda's number, it is a rounded off number. So therefore, we said ke'eser here as well. Faith to Gemara, kishloish esrei tfei havyan. Kishloish esrei is not even right. Kishloish esrei sounds like it's a little less. So apparently when you round off, you always have to round higher. So kishloish esrei would be proper grammatically if the real number was a little less than 13. But being that the number according to Rabbi Yehuda is 13 and a third, it's a third more than it is according to Rabbi Meir. That's easy math. According to Rabbi Meir, it's 6. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 8. So it's 33% more. So if it's 10, now it's 10 times 1.33, which is 13 and a third. But the point is, it's a little more than 13. If it's a little bit more than 13, then the Lashon Kishloish Esrei actually doesn't work. So the Gemara says, Mishun Dabayin L'Misni Ka'arba Esrei. No, because you wanted to say Ka'arba Esrei. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ka'arba Esrei Halei Havi. It's not Ka'arba Esrei either. Because Ka'arba Esrei would imply that it rounds off closest, the closest whole number is 14. Being that the number is 13 and a third, the close whole number is actually 13. I'm Rapapas. Rapapas said, I'll explain it to you very simply. Yeseris al shloish esrei, ve'ena magias to arba esrei. That's what it means. It's somewhere between 13 and 14. How much is it? It's 13 and a third. The point is that being according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a whole number. So in Rameir, the Braisa also didn't talk as if it's a whole number and just said, ke eser, zok de gemara. Rapapa continued. And Amar Rapapa, the bar shmoina, if you would have a bar that's 8 Amos wide, the kula amalei pligit leibinam pshutim. Everybody would agree, you don't need pshutim. Why not? So we need one more piece of information. And that is that we just said that the amount of space that you had to have between the diyumdin was going to be 10 amos according to Rameyer, and it's going to be 13 and a third amos according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, around the well, the average well was 8 amos. Additionally, around the well, in order to facilitate the length of the animal, because the animal is going to be standing outside the well and drinking. So how long is the animal? We mentioned it's 2 amos. So you need another 2 amos on each side, right? So technically, if the average well is 8 amos, so you're going to need 8 plus 2 on one side, 2 on the other side, which is 12. But the truth is the Pasi B'Rois themselves were an amma on each side. So being that they're amma on each side, you end up with a well, which is 8 amos, is going to end up yielding space of 10 amos, just naturally, based on all the cheshbonos. So Rav Papa said like this, if you have a bar that shmoina, everyone's going to hold you don't need pshutim. Why? Because you end up having 10 amos. Everybody agrees 10 amos is fine. But bar shtei mesrei, if the bar is shtei mesrei, it's a bigger bar, everyone's going to agree you need pshutim. Why? Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the most space you're allowed to have is 13 and a third. Over here, if the bar is 12, you're going to end up with an extra am on each side. You're going to end up with 14. So it's going to be too big. He pligi mishmayna vachtei mesrei. Anywhere between 8 and 12. The Rameh are binam shutim. Good Rameh, you're going to need pshutim because the maximum space you're allowed to have is 10. The Rabbi Yehuda like binam shutim because you're allowed to have 13 and a third. Faith to Gemara. Rav Papa, my kamashmon. What's Rav Papa coming to teach me? Tanina, isn't it a brisa? I mean, Rapapa did a little math for us, but once you have the formula, all you need to do is drag and paste, and you know exactly what you need to do. So why did Rapapa need to help us? The Gemara says, Rapapa never knew the brisa. And therefore he told it us, meaning Rapapa knew the Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about Shiurim. It doesn't say about 10, 13, and a third. So Rapapa felt that he was contributing a lot to this discussion. And Achinami, had Rapapa known the brisa, he probably never would have said this. Arich Yoiser, Betel chitzas chotzer sheyov shosim boimenei abai mei rabba abai es rabba shayla herch b'diyum the kishir pshutun ramei omahu. So we have a machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, how much space you're allowed to have between the pasuk. According to Ramei, 10 amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 13 and a third. That's why the Mishnah said, according to Ramei, what happens if you have too much space? You would have to add pshutim. Rapapa clarified when you need the pshutim. But the point is, you would have to add pshutim. What's pshutim? Additional posts. So Abaya asked his Rebbe Rabba an interesting question. He said, do you have to add posts? What if instead of adding posts, he just made the double post? He just made the diyumdim a little bit wider. Meaning the diyumdim were an amma on each side. What if instead of making an amma, you made it 2 ammas or 3 ammas? Just to narrow the gap. It's like this, you'll have 10 ammas or less between the pasen. Does it have to be dafke pshutin? What if instead of adding pshutin, herich b'diyumdim kishir pshutin? So instead of adding a poshet, that's an amma, he just extended the diyumdim an amma. What's the halacha? According to Rameyer, Amalei, he told him back to Nisu. I think you see it from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, ubilvad sheyar b'pasen. What does it sound like? Sheyar b'pasen. My lab demarich b'diyumdim. It sounds like fakir. The Mishnah is saying you could be marich b'pasen. The Mishnah says, like, the mapish v'avdi pshutin. Maybe what it means is you can add pshutin. Ihachi hayo b'vad sheyar b'pasen. Why is the lashon at sheyar b'pasen? At sheyar b'pasen miboyle. It should have said that you have to add pasen. So the Gemara says, tini at sheyar b'pasen. You can always change the gersa. Ikadamri amali tinisua. That what Rabbi told Abayu was, the Lashon Sheyar B'Pasen, my love, the Mapish for Ovid Pshutin. He thought, fakert, that the Lashon B'Pasen sounds like it has to be Pshutin, and if that's the case, you can't make the Diyumdim bigger. So he told him back, Loi, the Marech B'Diyum. Now, it's Mistabra that way, Midiktoni, Ubavad Sheyar B'Pasen, Shmamina. It's the same exact exchange. The only difference is what Rabbi's reaction was when Abaya asked the question. Is Ubavad Sheyar B'Pasen, does that sound like you're making the Diyumdim wider, or does it sound like there's going to be Pshutin? But at the end of the day, the Gemara ends up in the same place. Rabbi, yes, Rabbi, another question. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda? So according to Rabbi Meir, if you have too much space, so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to be Yarbe Pasen. Maybe the Gemara says Yarbe Bit Pasen. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda? You have the same concept of Pshutin according to Rabbi Yehuda. The same idea, although according to Rabbi Meir, it's when the space is 10 amas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be when it's 13 and a third amas. But either way, Abaya asked Rabbi the same question. What would be if it's 13 and a third amas plus, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do? Pshuta navir, ay b'diyum demayrich. Amalei tenisua, kamei mekuravim. So you brought him a nice raya. A raya from a b'raisa, which really elaborates on the seif of the Mishnah. So there was another part of the Mishnah that discussed the halach of pasi b'rois, and there was another shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argued with the Tana Kama in terms of how far, how big the area surrounding the well is allowed to be. Rabbi Yehuda said it's only allowed to be up until Beis Hasayim. Sometimes you have limitation that a Rosh Hashanah can't be more than Beis Hasayim, 5,000 square amas. So Rabbi Yehuda felt that the Pasuk B'Rois falls into that category. Tanakama held not that way. He said, Mutar laharchi kol shu ubavad sheyar b'pasen. You can make it as big as you want, as long as you marry the Pasuk. So this Bryce is elaborating on that discussion. Kamei mikuravin k'dei roish shav rubashal par. How close could you make it? As long as it's roish shav the par, that's going to be it. The kamei ruchakin, how far could it be? Afilu kurai. Tanakam says, make it as big as you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beis Hasayim Mutter. Yosem Beis Hasayim Nasa. It can only be up until Beis Hasayim. Omer Leid Rabbi Yehuda. Say, told Rabbi Yehuda, Iyat Amoid Bedir Visaru Muksa Vechatzer. Afilu Bas Chamishes Karim Afilu Bas Asara Kurim. You have all these different places where the animals are grazed and the chatzer. It's always allowed to be as big as you want it to be. So why here are you limiting it? Omer Leid. So he told him, I'll tell you why I'm limiting it. Because Zum Mechitza Ve'elu Pasen. Because over here you don't have a real Mechitza. Over here, all you have is passing. Listen to the Gemara's Kasha. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you have more than 13 and a third of a gap in the Pasuk B'Rois, you have to narrow the gap. How do you narrow it? By making the diyumdim wider. If that's the case, zum mechitza v'zum mechitza mibayale. They're both mechitzas. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that if you're going to have this huge monster area that you want to encircle around the well and make a very large Rishos HaYachid? Says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't do it. Chamza, why not? What's the difference between the animals that are draining in this well or the animals that are out there in the field where you can make the mechitzas as wide as you want. He said, what do you mean? There you have mechitzas. Here you don't have mechitzas. It's not true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, here you have mechitzas as well. Because you can't simply have pasim birois because the area is too wide. Once it's more than 13 and a third amis, even Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to do something. So bishloim, if you're adding these narrow little pasim, very good. You don't have mechitzas. But if what you're doing is you're extending the wall, so it's going to come out they have real mechitzas. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's taina? So the Gemara says, hachi kama. This is Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Zu teres mechitza aleo upritzusel be'eser ve'elu teres pasim aleinu pritzusel. You're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the way to extend the mechitzos and the pasin is by making real mechitzos. And it could be at this point, you're not just going to have double posts. You're going to have these big walls. But at the same time, you're allowed to have a piritz of 13 and a third amis, which is a chiddush, because usually the widest gap you're allowed to have a mechitza is only 10 amis, which is Ramei Yoshita by Pasi Birois as well. So you want to know where there's a nafkamita. There's still a nafkamita. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Rabbi Yehuda said at the end of the day, you're relying on a kula by Pasi Birois. And once you're relying on a kula, whatever the kula is, it's the fact that you can have a piritza that's more than 10 amas wide. But once you're relying on a kula, then you're limited to base aside. One more shayla. Boy, when I rabbi, ask rabbi a question. Tell him, slakit asara betoich arba. What if you have like a hump, a big pile of dirt, and it slopes? It goes up to 10 tfachim, but it goes up to 10 tfachim within 4 amas. So within a 4 amas space, it goes up to 10 tfachim. So his question was, nidain mishum diyomid, or yeinoy nidain mishum diyomid. So that shear, that formulation has significance in Hilchas Shavas. But for now, his question was, can you look at that as a pole, or can you not look at it as a pole? I mean, it's not a post. Certainly not a double post. So the question is, could you look at it? Can you not? So he told him, I have a good sushtal. Rav Shimon Allah said, what if somebody has a piece of stone that's a perfect square? So it's not L-shaped. Royan, he said a chiddush. You're allowed to pull off a royan. We had royan earlier in the week. So you can invoke royan. What does that mean? You can make believe. Kol she'ilu techolik. V'yesh ba'amalekan ba'amalekan. If you would chisel out this stone, and you would end up with an amma facing this way, and an amma facing that way. If you could do that, nida mishum diyomid. You could use it as diyomid. Vim lav, eino nida mishum diyomid. Big chiddush. That we say right, meaning even though right now it's not L-shaped, right now it's not at a 90-degree angle, right now it's not a double post, but we make believe if there is this space, choykikin lahashlam, such a concept, if you have the area to be able to carve out from within this block a double post, that's enough for you to be able to nida mishum. He said a big chiddush. Hoysasham evan agula. He said even if the stone was not square, it was round. Still, we say kol she'il techakek v'techalek. If you would carve out and you would make it for a square, and you would then chisel out at a 90-degree angle, v'yesh ba'amalekan ba'amalekan nida mishum diyomid v'imlav ena nida mishum diyomid. So we have a machlokes Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Rab Yechinam ben Breika. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yechinam ben Breika. Sounds similar, but it's not the same. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, you say Royan if you have an Evan that's a square, an Evan Mirubas. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yechinam ben Breika said, you say Royan even if it's a circle. But what's the machlokes? It seems awfully technical. So Mara says, no. Mar Sover, Chad Royan, Amrina, Trey Royan, Layamrina. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, you could do one Royan. You want to carve out the L? That's fine. But to take a circle, make it a square, which is one roin, and then do a double roin, that's not okay. Bottom line is, Abaya asked Rabbi a question. What was the question? He wanted to know, Tel HaMislake, can you take this pile of dirt and turn it into double posts? So he told him, it's totally in this machlokes, because in order to do that, you're going to have to do a double roin. Do you say double roin? Do you not say double roin? This is the shaila of the Evan that's round, where there's enough space to make it into a square and then carve out your L shape. It's a this would be the halacha as it relates to the tela mislakit as well. Exhale. So just two ha'aras as it relates to the first part of the daf, not the erevin part, not the pasibirois, but rather the agadat portion of the daf. So the first part of today's daf was a whole bunch of memrois that were stated by Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar was an Amira, and apparently he had a lot of Divrei Haggadah, and the Gemara just brought a lot of it, maybe all of it, here in Masechtas Erev, in Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, and Daf Yud Ches Amid Alf. And some of the things that Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar said were classic. Now the Gemara digressed, that was the theme, and then the Gemara digressed from its digression. And one of those digressions were, the Gemara brought a very big chiddush that Rish Lakish said. Amr Rish Lakish, Poisha Yisrael ain't ur Gehenim shalatis behem. The Poisha Yisrael don't have to worry about Gehenim. How do I know that? He made a kalvachim. Mizbeach hazav that has a little bit of gold that's covering it. Amad kamashon of aleshalta bayur. It was able to stand for many years, and the ur, the fire, was never able to be shalot. The fire of the ketores of the korbanos never had any shlit on the mizbeach hazav. Poisha Yisrael shemaleim mitzvahs kerimoyin, that they don't have a little bit of protection. They have a lot of protection. What protects a yid? His mitzvahs protect him. Shenemar kefela charimim rakosek. How do you know a yid is malay mitzvahs kerimon? Because Rish Lakish said something else. Al tikre rakosek el rekosek. Shafilu rekonim shebach malay mitzvahs kerimon. That even the rekonim, even the yidin that have no mitzvahs, are malay mitzvahs kerimon. Alachas kama v'kama. Either way, Rish Lakish said two things. Both. Very important. Poisha Yisrael ain't or Gehenim shalatis behem. And the second was that afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kariman. Even the yidden that are reikonim, but they were malei mitzvahs kariman. If this Gemara sounds familiar, it's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, a little better known, on Davava Mid Aleph. The Gemara over there was discussing the many names of Tveria. And the Gemara says that there was a city called Rakas. It's also mentioned in Sefer Yeshua. Rakas zu Tveria. V'lama nekishma Rakas. Sha'afilu reikonim shabah malei mitzvahs kerimon. The Shagasariye in Ture Yevon. Megill davav amin aleph is matmiya. He says, I don't understand. Here Reish Lakish said in Erev and Daf Yutes amin aleph that all the Yidin are malei mitzvahs kerimon. Everybody. That was Reish Lakish's kal v'chaymer. Poishe Yisrael ein or gehenim shaletis behem. And here from the Gemara Megill davav amin aleph, it sounds like only the people that lived in Tveria. In fact, Tveria was called Rakas precisely for that reason. If that's the case, Reish Lakish's kal v'chaymer is only a kal v'chaymer for the Anshei Tveria. If you live in Tveria, in the Galil, so then you have this skula. You have Reish Lakish's kal v'chaymer. Right, Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish were from that area. Rabbi Yechon lived in Tveria. But if you lived in Tveria, then you would have that kal v'chaymer. But if you didn't live in Tveria, then that this kal v'chaymer has no shaykhis. This is the shaykhis Aryeh's kasha. But regardless, so well-known chazal. It's a well-known chazal that the Yidin are compared to a rimoin. Why we compare to a rimoin? Sha'afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimoin. I saw a pashita, beautiful ha'ara in the Sefer Ga'in Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Yosef Chaim Yibavel, the son of the Ben Ishchai. He says, I don't understand, I can't even read the Gemara. The Gemara says, afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimoin. It's a tarta de sasri. Doesn't make any sense. If you're malei mitzvahs kerimoin, then you're not reikonim. Now, I understand sometimes there's a scale and it is relative and there's a spectrum. So you could say maybe that even the people that don't have that many mitzvahs, the people that are shvach in their mitzvahs, they're malei mitzvahs kerimoin. But that's not what Chazal said. Chazal said, afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimoin. Reikonim sounds like v'haboy reik, aim by mayim. There's no Torah, there's nothing there. Right? That's what it sounds like. So what does that mean? Afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimoin. How is that shaykh? So listen to what he says. L'shoyne yazov, nira b'zeh. The Yesh Adam Shehu Bar Vereik Min HaMitzvahs. It's possible for a person to be empty from mitzvahs. But V'oise Mitzvah Achas, he could do one mitzvah, V'hi Chashuv V'keneged Kama Mitzvahs. It could be Chashuv like so many mitzvahs. Mitzad HaKamus U'mitzad HaEchos K'goin HaMezakeh HaSarabim. O'yose Toivo L'Klolus HaKol V'kayotze B'zeh. If someone's Mezakeh the Rabbin, or someone does something that benefits the Klal, Schus HaRabim Tolui Boy. He has the Schus of the Rabbin. V'lochein Doimu L'Rimayin. He says a whole shot. But he says, U'b'zeh Yuvan Divrei HaMaymer. D'komar Afilu Reikonim Shabach. The Mashmar Reik. Yeah, we're talking about people that were Reik. They have no mitzvahs. They have very little. Literally, the tank is empty. But at the same time, they have the mitzvah being Mezakeh HaRabim. So it's shayach for a person to have so little, but at the same time you can have so much. How's that possible? If you're mezakeh the rabbin, then you have the schus of the rabbin. So these are yidden that don't do a lot of mitzvahs. In terms of their personal observance, they don't have a lot of mitzvahs. But then again, they're being mezakeh the rabbin. And because they're being mezakeh the rabbin, so he said, that's pashup shat. Afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimin. Doesn't make sense. If you're malei mitzvahs kerimin, then by definition, you're not reik. The Teretz is no. It's possible. There's a mitzios where a person could be reik. He could be very, very low as far as the mitzvahs, but at the same time, he's malei mitzvahs kerimah. And how's the possible if he has the schus of the rabbin? Because like this, when other people do mitzvahs, he gets schar. So there's an idea of oiskim b'tzorchei tzibur be'amunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalom schar. But this is this concept. The concept is afilu reikonim shabach malei mitzvahs kerimah. The truth is the Ben Yoyada. The Gaon Yaakov's father says a very similar gedank in Ben Yoyada ayin sham. But I'll just tell you one sushta. One sushtal, earlier in the daf, earlier in the week, on Daf Tezvav, we mentioned one of the drushes from the Neid of Yehuda that he gave on Shabbos Shuvah with regards to Lechi Ha'Oimin Mi'elav, and he was being Mechazik to Oilam, Yal Kagan. That was in the drushes of the Tzlach Drush Choftes. Just read one line from the drushes of the Noida Yehuda, and this is not Drush Choftes, this is Drush Chav Gimel. So the Rebbe Yehuda was giving Musar. It's beautiful. There's so many nice things there. It's not Shaykh. It could take us now until the end of the shir. But it's beautiful what he says there. But Toich Dvarov, he was trying to be Mechazik to Olam. And he says, I know there are people that they've given up. Because they feel like at the end of the day, it's Shabbos Shuvah. So you're supposed to do Shuvah. At the end of the day, you have to be Roiv Mitzvahs. And if you're not Roiv Mitzvahs, you're going to end up losing out anyways. So he said, what's the point in doing Shuvah? So he says, Va'omer ani. He says it's possible for a person to be machriya the whole world of kavschos, but he himself is going to end up a rasha. He says derech mashal. I'll explain to you what a mashal. Let's say there's a person that's kulei avoynes. We know on Rosh Hashanah, not only is the Eibush to judge the individual, but Hashem judges the entire world. The entire world has its own din v'cheshbon. He said, loyitzur, you have a person. This person is roiv. He's not roiv. He's 100% averus. He's never done a mitzvah. He's all averus. But the world itself had a cheshbon. And the world was mechza mitzvahs, and it was mechza avoinus. He said, what would be if this yid goes ahead and he does one mitzvah? Or he does tshuva on one of the averus that he did? You know what's going to happen? He's going to end up tipping the scale. It's going to come out, the whole world is going to be judged l'kaf schos. So the Rebbe Yehuda turned to the chevra in Prague. He says, I want to ask you a question. You be the judge. He said, what would you say? What would happen to this person? This person is literally 100% meluchlich bechet. But then he did an avera, and his avera somehow managed to tip the scale, so it took the world from being 50-50, suddenly it's noita lekaf schos. So he says, it's poshet, and it's barer kechama, said the Noita Yehuda, that this year is going to go straight to Olam Haba. He's going to get a tremendous schos. You know why? He has the schos harabim. He said he just saved the whole world. He's Moshiach Shal Yisrael. So he says, if a person is Moshiach Shal Yisrael, how could you tell me that if he saved the world, how could he not be saved? It's not possible. It doesn't make any sense. So said the Noida Yehuda, he says, I know the Olam, you're giving up, and you feel, what's my Avera worth? He said, don't be so selfish. Don't only look at it from your perspective. Who knows what your mitzvah is doing for the world? How do you know that by you doing a mitzvah, you can't be mashpia on somebody else, and you can make somebody else better? And then, if you're going to do that, I feel a reikonim shabach is malei mitzvahs karimai. So said the Noida Yehuda, he says, you're right. If you're looking at it from your own perspective, maybe you're right for giving up. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of musa there and a lot of teichacha. But he said, he started off the drasha. He said, you know, I'm very tempted to say pshetlach. He says, and I've done it many times over the years. But he said, but I realize now that the ikar is the musar, not the medrash. He says, I'm going straight to the musar. There was no yad pigam in this drasha. No lechi oimin meyelo. He went straight to the point. But either way, this was the point in the Noida Yehuda, and this is the idea. And I think it's a beautiful mussar, a beautiful takeaway from this daf. Another idea that we saw in today's daf was the Gemara said that after Rish Lakish said, what do you mean? I mean, we know there's something called Gehenim. So what does Gehenim mean? So the Gemara says, what it means is, what it means is that if a person deserves to go to Gehenim, Asi Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu is going to come, and Avram Avinu is going to take him out, and he's going to be Mekabalim. But there's one exception, there's one person, that there's no guarantee Avram Avinu is taking out of Gehenim. And that is if somebody was Boyal, a Bas Oive Kechavim, there's an idea that somehow his Arla can come back, and when Avram Avinu is going to be looking for Yidden in Gehenim, he's not going to recognize this person as a Yid. So this promise, this Avtocha, that Avram Avinu takes people out of Gehenim, not everyone is going to be Zoichet. Someone that's Ba, Abbas, Oved, Keichavim, so somebody like that doesn't do tshuva. So a person like that, he doesn't have that Avtocha that he's going to be taken out. The Balaturim, in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, my good friend Levi Chomsky showed this to me. So right in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, the last pasuk of Parshas Lech Lecha, V'chol anshei beisoy, yelid bayis, umiknas kesef, me'eis ben nechar, nimoylu itoy. Last pasuk. Nimoylu itoy. That's the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Vayera, elu v'ashem me'lo ini mamre, v'yoyshev pesach ha'oyel, k'choyim hayoy. The last pasuk of Parshas Lech Lecha is nimoylu itoy. Parshas Vayera begins, v'yera elu v'ashem me'lo ini mamre, v'yoyshev pesach ha'oyel, Pesach Ha'oil K'chay Mayor. Says the Baal HaTurim, what's the connection between the last pasuk in Lech and the first pasuk in Vayera? Nimoy Luita is Bris Milo. Vayera Elav Hashem Tohu. Tavram Avinu V'hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'oil K'chay Mayor. K'chay Mayor is referring to Gehenim. That Avram Avinu is going to stand on Pischa Shal Gehenim. He's Yoshev Pesach Ha'oil K'chay Mayor, and he's going to save any person that's Nimoy Luita. Any person that's Nimoy Luita, that person is going to save. So just two Ha'aris. Two Ha'aris as relates to all this raid. One a little more lundish, and the other one a little bit more premium satira. We know that at a bris milah, one of the kibudim is kisa shel Eliyahu. Why is there a kibud kisa shel Eliyahu? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is the Malach HaBris. The Malach HaBris means he comes to every bris milah. And because Eliyahu HaNavi is the Malach HaBris, so it's appropriate, you have to be mechaber Eliyahu HaNavi. The Torah brings it, that you're supposed to have a kisa shel Eliyahu. It's because Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris milah. Avram Avin, Eliyahu HaNavi is the Malach HaBris. What's the makar to this Torah? It comes from a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's in the end of Perek Chav Tes. The context over there is Achav had made a gzera, a very terrible decree, that it was illegal for a Jew to circumcise his children. Bris milah was aser. Eliyahu HaNavi stood up, and he was moicha. He protested against Achav. Achav was very upset about what Eliyahu HaNavi did, and Achav wanted to kill Eliyahu. Eliyahu ran away from Achav. Eliyahu was hiding. This is where we pick up in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Eliyahu is hiding. Nigla all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Eliyahu. Amalei Malach HaPai Eliyahu. He said, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding? Amalei, so he told him, Kanoi Kenesi. It's because I stood up for your honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I stood up against Achav who made a gzera, no bris milah. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Eliyahu, lo'oi l'mata mekana. You know, this is not the first time you stood up for me. You've been doing this. Kenesa bashit and al Gilui Arayis. You did this in the Midbar. For Gilui Arayis. Shenemar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon Akoyim Heshev es Chamasi v'kano yes kinasi. And we know who's Pinchas. It's Eliyahu HaNavi. V'kano yes kinasi. V'kano ata mekano. And now you're doing it in Sveitim al Chayecho. He said, I make a shvua. She'en Yisrael oisim brismila ach ataroi benecho. Your schus is that there's never going to be a brismila that you're not going to wisdom. Mikan, from here, hiskinu chachomim shiu oisim moishav kovid malach habris. This is the makar that we make a moishav kovid for the malach habris. It's a mefurish of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is the minig that we have. So bothered me a edel ha'ara, just a small diak. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu, you're going to get a gift. You know what your gift is? Tremendous, tremendous matana. You're the Malach HaBris. There's never going to be a bris milah ad she'ataroi beinecho, unless you're going to be able to win it. Why? He said, because of your kanois. Your kanois against Achav. Achav was said no bris milah, and Eliyahu Navi stood up against Achav. And what was the kanois? Yeah, bris milah. So it was Mida Keneged Mida, right? Mida Keneged Mida, Eliyahu HaNavi stood up. He defended bris milah. And what was his schar? His schar was that he became the Malach HaBris. But what's the lashon of the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu, La'oilam ata mekana. This is not the first time you were kanoi. La'oilam ata mekana. Kineis ha'bashit ha'magilah ha'rayis. You had kanois with the maisa with Zimri and Cosby. You had kanois by Pinchas ben Elazar b'Aharon HaKoyen. V'kan ata mekana. Now you're doing it again. Chayach, that's the shvua. It sounds like from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that this schar, that Eliyahu HaNavi is the Malach HaBris, isn't just a reward for the kanois against Achav. It sounds like it was a reward for the kanois in the Midbar as well. It's for Pinchas ben Elazar b'Aharon HaKoyen, Heshev Tzchamas, V'kan yas kenasi. Because Bishloim, the kanois of Achav, you understand the Mida Keneged Mida. It's a Mida Keneged Mida. He was Mekana Kines Hashem for Bismila. His reward was that he became the Malach HaBris. But what does the kanois Bashitim in the Midbar have any shaykhis with the fact that he became the Malach HaBris? But I think the Teretz is half of a fellow. The Teretz is the Gemara we learned today. The Gemara says Avram Avinu comes to when a person to Pischa Shal Gehenim who Yoshev Pesach Ha'oil K'chay Mayoyim and Va'asi Avram Avinu Masik Lahu U'mekabu, he takes any Poshi Yisrael that's in Gehenim Bar Mi Yisrael Shabah Bas Oivik Kechavim, with the exception of someone that's Ba Bas Oivik Kechavim. Why? The Mashchar Lasai. You see from here that when someone's boil a bas oivet kechavim, there's two dinim. There's two things that are happening. Number one, it's bias asurois. Can move on. But in addition to that, there's also a brismila nekuda over here. It's mashchar lasai. It's becoming ois brismila. So if that's the case, what was the kanois of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyen? It was boil aramis. A boil aramis kanoim paigim boy. That's tachta makar. That's what Pinchas did. Pinchas was boil Cosby. So it comes out that when Pinchas was mekanek kines Hashem bashitim, it wasn't just a kanois on Gilui Arayis. It was a kanois on brismila as well. Lo'oilam ata mekana. Eliyahu HaNavi told us the second time you did this. Kinesa Bashit and Al Gilei Arayis. What's the oimik? Not the Aveir of Gilei Arayis, but the Gilei Arayis of Boil Aramis, Boil Kutis, the Moshkar Losoi. And now you're doing it again. Chayecho. There's never going to be a Bris Mila. Achatoroyo Beinecho. And that's why this Kisa Shel Aliyo. In other words, I think the Kanois of Pinchas, of Bekanoyos Kenossi, it was the same Kanois of Eliyahu Hanavi. This is Eliyahu the Malach HaBris. Could be it wasn't even Kanois on Gilei Arayis. It could be if this was a Gilei Arayis, not of Boil Aramis, maybe there is no Pinchas Bekanoyos Kenossi. This could be the whole Kanois was a Kanois on Bris Milo. This is Eliyahu L'shitosoi. It's Eliyahu and Pinchas, who's the Malach HaBris. But regardless, that's the connection between the Kanois and the Midbar. Kenesa Bashitim Al Arayis, V'kanata Mekana. What are the two? Teretz is, because that also is an idea of the Mashkar Lasa. But there's a little premius Atayra, I think, that maybe we could tap into as well. And that is, why is this Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu is one. So Pasha, you learn it's Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is the one, the first one to have Bris Mila. It's called Brisoi Shal Avram Avinu, Eliyahu Malach HaBris, Brisoi Shal Avram Avinu. Those are the two of the tzaddikim that are featured most prominently by every Bris Mila. So it's Brisoi Shal Avram Avinu. So it seemed that Bris Mila has a little bit more of a shaychus to Avram Avinu, and it seems that the Mila is somehow the way out. So if that's what it is, it would seem appropriate that it should be Avram Avinu. The Ramami Pano, in his Maimur Chikar Adin, and this is in Chelik Shlishi, Perek Hamisha Asa. So yesterday we quoted from the Ramami Pano in Maimer Chikur Hadin Chelek Revi'i. Perigim. This is Chelek Shlishi. This is Perek Tezvav. So he brings this Gemara. The Gemara that talks about Avram Avinu, how he's going to have this koyach to be able to schlep people out of Gehenna. So he said, what's the pshat? Why did Avram Avinu have this koyach? So he tells to a medrash. A tremendous medrash. It's a Bereshis Rabbah. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's Parsha Mem Dalet. Chaf Aleph. The pasuk over there is describing a lot of the events that took place during the Bris Bein Absarim. V'hinei Taner Oshon V'lapid. Zog the Gemara. Shimon Ber Abba said, in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, Arba Dvarim Heraloi. At the Bris Bein Absarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Avram Avinu four things. He showed him Gehenim. He showed him Malchios. He showed him Matan Torah and the Beis HaMikdash. Gehenim. Malchius, as in the Golus, Shibud Malchius, he showed him Matan Torah and the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei, he told Avram Avinu, here's the deal. Kol zman shebanecha asukim b'shtayim. As long as your children are oisik in Matan Torah and the Beis HaMikdash, heim nitzoylo mishtayim. They're going to be saved from Gehenim and Malchius. Pirshu mishnayim. If, however, they're poirish from Matan Torah and the Beis HaMikdash, heim nidoyne b'shtayim. They're going to have Gehenim and Shibud Malchius. Amalei. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Avram, b'ma ata roitza she'erdu banecha. If you have a choice, a preference, what would you prefer? Gehenim? Or Malchius. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chinu bar Papa Amar, Rabbi Chinu bar Papa said, Avram bir lo yisam Malchius. He said, I want Malchius, I don't want Gehenim. Rabbi Yudin, v'Rab Idi, v'Rab Chama Rechanina Amru, Avram bir Gehenim. But v'Kadosh Baruch Hu, bar lo yisam Malchius. Says the Ramami Pano, Avram Avinu was given an ultimatum. What do you want? Do you want Gehenim or do you want Malchius? Avram Avinu chose Malchius. Or in another Nusach, Avram Avinu chose originally, but eventually it was Malchius. That means Avram Avinu already cut a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm willing for my descendants to go through Golos, and they're going to have all the tsaris and all the Holocaust and the explosions and everything that went on throughout our history. But here's the deal. There's a trade-off. The trade-off is that there's going to be no Gehenim. So said the Ramami Pano, Avram Avinu is the one that has a koyach hatayna now to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Gehenim? Poshe Yisrael? I thought we had a deal. I thought we had an arrangement. And he says, that's why it's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the one that has that koyach. Listen to his lashon. He says more here as well. He says, V'hadir noches Avram, shekayim kol ha-mitzvois, v'yorad l'urkazdim al kiddush Hashem, u'beschusay masiklu l'kayim asho huftach b'ribis b'in absorim, sheher lai kodosh baruch hu gehenem u'malchis, k'dei sheyibocher l'zariyas agolius, kahanal. Everything that we just said. But one of the things he says is, v'yorad l'urkazdim al kiddush Hashem. What does he mean? I think he means that Avram Avinu went into a fire once for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He once threw himself into a fire. This is a koyach hatayna now. He says he's able to pull the yidden out of the fire because he himself once went. Avram Avinu went through 10 nisyonis. The Ramami Pano didn't mention the akedah. You know what he, which is also fire. But what he mentioned is the ur kazdim. That's what he mentioned. He physically went into the fire. Then almost. He physically went into the fire. But either way, this is the Ramami Pano. But just one last thing that the Ramami Pano talks about. And that is, you know, people say there's different memories from different rebbes and different tzaddikim, Reb Nachman Breslov, that if you do this, the tzaddik's going to come and he's going to pull a person out of Gehenna, right? So here we have a Gemara. A Gemara in Erevin Daf Yotes that Avram Avinu, this is a special deal that Avram Avinu has because of his arrangement dating back to the Bris Ben Absarev, the Ramam Ipano. But we know, we've heard it over the years, b'shem different tzaddikim. The truth is, it has a makar in Sifrei Kabbalah. It has a makar in the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Ramam Ipano right here talks a little bit about this. But the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Pinchas says that there's an idea that tzaddikim have the ability to go into Gehenna. They have an ability to go into Gehenna and pull Rishon out of Gehenna. But listen to what the Ramam Ipano says, b'shem da'ariza. Chana in her Shira, after she had Shmuel. So Chana in her Shira sang, Moirud Sha'ol Vayo'al. One of the things she said was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends people to Gehenna, V'yal, and he takes people out of Gehenna. Omer, Ramam Ipano, quoting the Ariza, Ki yesh tzadikim gemurim, there are tzadikim gemurim, nichsholim berhurei avera, that they're nichshol sometimes in avera, they have hurei avera. But the hir avera is so subtle, that lo yakub ehem zulasa yizbarach, the only one that knows that this avera ever happened is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aboichin klo yisvalev. All the malachim and all the chayas, no one knows. It's so deep sometimes that the tzaddik is going to have a hirav erev that only the Eibishter knows. V'yish risham gemurim. But he says, l'umma said there's also a risham gemurim. Maharim tshuva b'libam. That they have hirurei tshuva. That it's so subtle, it's so deep inside their soul, that hirurei tshuva. Im dechtucha shel nefesh. That lo niglu taluma is libam bilti l'ashem levadoi. The only one that knows about that hirurei tshuva is the Eibishter. There could be a Russia that even the Malach doesn't know about his hirat shuvah. But deep, deep down, in some deep crevice of his soul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he had a hirat, that he really wants to do the right thing. V'hinei Malach Achzori Yeshulach Behem Lo Yirid on the Be'er Shachas. You know what happens to this Russia Gomer? The Malach Achzori is going to come after he dies, and he's going to take him, and he's going to bring him to Be'er Shachas. U'kiraya Malolei. That's what he's Vela Rishonim Shezacharnu, and as it relates to the tzaddikim, ain't Satan, they ain't Pegara. No one's going to touch him because no one knows it happened. No one knows that this Russia really deep down had a hirat shuva. No one knows this tzaddik needs a little tikkun because somewhere deep in his neshama he had a hirat to do aver. Okay, Hatsur Tamim Paaloi Moirit Shaal. He knows that the Eibishter. He's going to take Oysam HaTzadikim Shoyim Machshav Esavoy. He's going to take the tzaddikim that had a Machshav Esavoy and Ukedesh Shaloi Levaisham. So that he should embarrass those tzaddikim, meaning these tzaddikim have to go to Gehenna. I was like, well, why is this tzaddik going to Gehenna? We thought he was a tzaddik gomer. No, guys, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go and he's going to take those rishonim that had a hirat tshuva, that no one chav they had a hirat tshuva. L'halos misham oisam shehiru tshuva b'livon. Ve'en l'cha mishpat sheyishi maitztaka gadol mizeh. That's what the Arizal said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's merit sha'el v'yal. You know what it means? He said, David has there's a whole team of people. There's a lot of delegating going on in Shemaim. There's malachim, and there's a lot of things happening. But there's certain rishayim that they had a hirat tshuva, and the hirat tshuva was so deep, it's in such a hidden place. It's so deep that kishkes, that even the malachim, they get paid to do this, and they don't even know about this hirat shuvah. It's so deep, they have no idea that this is happening. So how do we get these rishonim out of Gehenna? These rishonim are going to go out of Gehenna. But someone has to take them out. You know who's going to take them out? The tzaddikim are going to take them out. Kefi the zoya, that there's a koyach that a tzaddik has, that a tzaddik is able to take a rasha out of Gehenna. But why is the tzaddik going to Gehenna? So the Arizal said, because there were tzaddikim that teeth down there, epizvaz, there was a little here. So they have to go to, but the Hashem is meirit sha'ol v'yal. And Chana understood this, that only the Eibishter, who's able to be boichin kloyes v'lev on such a deep, subtle level, that the Eibishter is going to send the tzaddik to go into Gehenna. So it looks like he's just doing a job, but it really, he needs that mashu of a tikkun. But the point is to pull out the rasha. But of course, just to focus on the positive, this idea that you can have a yesh rishoim gemurim, maharin tshuva belibam in dichtucha shel nefesh, loy nigla talumais libam bilti l'ashem levadoi, v'nei malach achzori yeshulach bem loy ridil bershachas kefalam kroyim alaleim. Because he has no clue, even the malach doesn't know that he had a hirat tshuva. You see what a hirat tshuva is, that even a person can have a hirat tshuva in the deepest part of his neshama. This is enough of a hirat tshuva where Hashem, Meirid, Hashem is going to go, he's going to send the tzaddik to pull him out of Gehenna, the koyach of a hirat tshuva.